Titus chapter 1, verse 1, it says, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth which is after godliness. King James is sweet, no matter what you want to tell me. Verse 2, in hope of eternal life, which God that cannot lie promised before the world began. So, before the world began, God promised eternal life, right? So, the concept or the promise of God giving man eternal life, God promised it before the world began. There's so much to say about that, but I will not lose my track today. Verse 3. But hath in due times, everybody read with me, but hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Oh, so even though God promised it before the world began, when he manifested it, it was announced by preaching. Are you with me? He manifested his word through preaching. This means God does not take preaching lightly. Are you following me? God doesn't take preaching lightly. How did God manifest his word? Through preaching. That means, that's a key there. That means if I want God to manifest healing, I'll preach healing. Are you following me? If I want God to manifest righteousness in your lives, I will preach righteousness. If I want God to manifest divine supplies, I will preach divine supply. So he manifests his word how? Through preaching. Are you seeing this? Now, this preaching is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. Glory. Now, let me see something else. Or let us see something else. 1 Corinthians 1 verse 18. It says, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. But unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Are you with me? Now, it says in verse 21, for after that in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the word by wisdom knew not God. Ay, Bible, eh? Let me tell you. If I have my way, you see Bible Illumina, that's my sweetest. when we can just come and drink razor blade and open the Bible small, small like this. Do you know what that phrase means? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the word by wisdom knew not God. So, God's wisdom was that men will not find him by their wisdom. So God concealed his salvation plan in such a way that you can only find it by the wisdom of God. Are you with me? My wife was asking me a question one day. She said, if we became sinners through Adam, so Adam sinned and all of us were in him, biologically, we became sinners. So, why can't we be saved biologically? I said, the issue is not about you. It's about the Adam. The first Adam was the one who committed sin, who committed high treason against God, and died spiritually. And his death affected both him and all those in him. Are you with me? Everyone from him. The second Adam was the one that was righteous, fulfilled all the claims of divine justice, and became completely righteous. But he did not have any biological children. Are you following this? So, since he had no biological children, how will he transfer his righteousness? And it was intentional. If he had biological children, how will you be part of it? Are you with me? So it was intentional that Jesus did not marry and did not have children. Because if he did, those would have been the only ones recreated in the image of God. So he had to find a new way to do this reproduction by the Spirit. Are you with me? Praise the Lord. So God designed it that there is no way by your own human wisdom you can get it. Because let me tell you, if that happened, oh my God, if it was now very clear that to get God's gene, if you can get the DNA of Jesus medically, I'm telling you, you'll be buying it. People will begin to pay. Imagine Jesus was on the earth today, still physical. Imagine he did not distribute himself by the Holy Ghost. They will kidnap him. All the politicians will kidnap him and lock him up somewhere. For you to receive salvation, you will save all your life. Then just before you die, you will go there. I say, I'm about to go. What's your life savings? 2 billion. Drop it. Access to eternal life. They will kidnap Jesus. So God did it in such a way that there is no way you can get it naturally. Are you following me? There is no way you can get it naturally. All that I'm explaining is in just that phrase. The word in the wisdom of God, the word by wisdom knew not God. Please, can we go back there? God, I must finish today. Let me. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the word by wisdom knew not God. Then it says, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Hey, say after me, it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Think about it. How can I just announce to you that he died for you, he was buried for you, he rose up for you, and if you embrace it, you are saved. Eternally saved. It looks foolish, but that's the wisdom of God. Are you with me? So it has pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Why am I showing you this? So that nobody will talk you out of what we are doing. Oh, you just go there, just preaching for you. No, preaching is not just. Are you with me? Finally, stay on the fact that God pays attention to preaching. Romans 16, verse 25. Romans 16, verse 25. The Bible says, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery, which was kept secret since the world began. Now, look at this. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. That means, according to this verse, a chunk of spiritual establishment comes by preaching. Let me tell you, when you see a Christian who has lost his way, what was he hearing? Who fed him spiritually? You know, you were asking me a question in the car today. And I was saying that, so we're talking about something when I was coming. And he asked me, why is it that two people can read the Bible? And one person read the Bible and fall into error. And another person read the Bible and fall into truth. I said, well, there are many reasons, but one major reason is the state of their hearts. The Bible says that in Matthew chapter 13, the sower went to sow the word. Some fell on stony hearts, some fell on thorns, some fell on wayside, then some fell on good ground. The same word. Are you following this? The same word produced different results in the different hearts. That means sometimes it's not a problem with the word, it is a problem with the hearer, with the heart of the hearer. Then for the wayside, that's a special case. So the good heart is the heart that is ready for response to the word of God, right? Then stony heart is the heart that they hear the word, they respond, but they cannot stand persecution. So the Bible says when the son was scourged, even though it had come out, it anon with joy responded. So when the son came out, it was scourged and withered away. Jesus said those are people that they respond with joy, but when trials and persecution arise because of the world, by and by they are offended. Have you not seen people that came to church? They were, I love this service. I love this church. I love God. I want to re-come in. Tomorrow you go and meet them. They say, I'm just tired. They start acting somehow. You're wondering, I thought this person was responding with joy. He's a stony heart. Are you following me? How do you deal with stony heart? The Bible says because they had no deepness of earth, it's the discipleship they need. Are you with me? So they responded, oh, but they need discipleship. Then the heart of thorns. That one is deceitfulness of riches and the cares of this world. What did they call it? Jaye or that word that flex. I want to flex. Jaye, thank you. Deceitfulness of riches. I want to. So the demand of the kingdom is calling them, respond to God. They look at it, prayer. Camp meeting, session one, session two, session three. I want to watch movie. I want to. And there's nothing wrong with that one, but they all their mind is, I want to just be a big boy, a big girl of Abuja. I want to flex. I want to. That thing will distract. I want to blow. Double your hustle. Are you following me? The hustle will make them miss God. That's the heart of thorns. Cares of this world, the deceitfulness of riches. But it's another one, the wayside. Wayside. The Bible says, he that received seed by the wayside is he that heard the word and understandeth it not. Then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown. This is he which received seed by the wayside. So wayside people, their own problem is that they don't understand. What they need is a Bible teacher. A disciple that will say, see, I know this is what you are thinking, but see what the Bible says. Somebody that will guide them. You know, that thing called wayside, Bible is trying to be packaged. It's talking about somebody that lost his way. rendering for it is, have you seen somebody, when you are describing somebody who misbehaved and lost his track in life, say he lost his way. He fell by the wayside. While of us were about to graduate, he had an extra year and fell by the wayside or he dropped out of school. Wayside is our people who there was nobody to help them understand. Many people who became atheists, that was the problem. Are you with me? Many people who began to question the Christian faith, that was the problem. And the people that should be held accountable, who were they listening to before that time? Please, are you following me? What brought me to this point? It is Romans chapter 16. That God is able to establish you according to my preaching. Now, to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery. Meaning, there is a way a man will preach to you, There is preaching you will hear. You cannot lose your way. Hey, God. I know what I'm saying. I've proved it with my life and ministry. I know what I'm saying. In ministry, the real fruits are the people. There were people I preached to in secondary school. They are still in the faith today. People I preached to led to Christ. You see them. They're on fire. Ubong is here. There are people I preached to in the university. Because preaching is not just preaching. It's not just talking. It is the substance of your spiritual depth you are communicating by words. Are you with me? So he's saying that. That's why Paul personalized it. God is of power to establish you according to my gospel. That's why everybody cannot be your spiritual father. Because you don't know the substance of their spirit. Are you following me? The people that preach to me. Are you with me? No, I am like this because of the people that preach to me. The places I got born, the place I got born again, the places that discipled me. That's why I'm like this. Are you getting me? Somebody say solid. He says he's able to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching. It was said that the people that Charles Finney led to Christ, they were on fire for at least 100 years. Did you hear what I said? I mean, they did a statistical research. Preaching. So you can't play with preaching. You can't take it lightly. So that's the first reason why we must pay attention to how the apostles preached. Because God pays attention to the way the gospel is preached. God puts premium on preaching. You know, there was one time in 2017, I was praying and the Lord came and said to me, he said, this year, I'm going to carry you around the nation and you'll be ministering to many teenagers and many youth programs and many leaders, many young people's program around. I said, okay, Lord, why? He said, I want to transfer the substance in your spirit to as many people as I can transfer it to. I'm like, It's like, this is serious. So I have not heard of this before. He said, I'm going to do it. That year, I was traveling from place to place. I went to Enugu. I went to Ibadan. I went to Lagos. Port Harcourt. I think I came to Abuja. Some of them programs were mine. Some of the programs were other people. They were actually more of other people's programs. And they were just inviting me everywhere. They were just inviting me. And Lord would tell me, when you go, lay hands on as many people as you can lay hands on. It was one of those meetings. In fact, that was how I knew Eben. Because I was preparing for the meeting, and the Lord showed me a vision. He came out, and he was anointed with oil. So I called him. I said, the Lord has showed me something about you. I said, I'm having a retreat in Benue State. I saw that you were brought out of a crowd. They were anointed with oil. God said he has distinguished you for leadership. He started shouting. He said, hey! He said, in his church, he just made him a youth leader. I said, I'm going to visit Enugu. When I pass through Enugu, I'm going to lay hands on you. Today, that guy has started a church. He's a pastor of a church. Also, something funny he also said. He said, there are many people that you need to lay hands on and help purify their spirits. Said, many people that put their hand and their leg and their body into strange things. Sometimes laying of hands will be done in church at intervals to help purify. Okay, I'm talking too much. Praise the Lord. Do you understand what I just said?
Yes, sir. Okay.
Pretend like you didn't hear it. Let's go on. So, we take preaching seriously because God takes it seriously. Number two, Christianity is an orthodox faith. So, orthodox means following the pattern. Following the pattern. So, if we don't follow the pattern, we are not practicing Christianity. If Apostle Paul comes and what he's hearing us preach sounds different from what they preached, it is not Christianity again we are doing. Are you with me? Already, if we want to go by this, already, do you know how many churches will close down? Orthodoxy. There is a pattern set by the Lord Jesus and the first apostles. If you don't follow the pattern, you are doing another thing. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 to 4, it says, if any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, and evil surmisings. Are you with me? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 1, from verse 13. 2 Timothy 1, verse 13. 1, verse 13. So let's look at it. Verse 12. Verse 12 to verse 13. Kai! Parakata. It says, for which cause I also suffer these things. This is Paul talking. He's saying that for the sake of the gospel, I suffer so many things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I believed. Hey! Something I know whom I believed. And I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. Hey! Sometimes I am persuaded. He is able to keep. He is able to keep. Ah! Sometimes I am persuaded. God is able to keep. I know whom I have believed. Glory! Verse 13. Where we're actually going to. It says, hold fast the form of sound words. Look at that rendering. Hold fast the form. So there is a form. It's not just even the words. There is a form. There is a way it's supposed to be like. Are you with me? You know, right now, the way we are seated in a particular form, we can rearrange this do all of us, the same people in this hall, but we can rearrange ourselves. We have changed the form. He's saying, you are saying the same words, though, but there is a form. Ah, yeah, 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 yeah. There is a form. Don't lose the form. Hey. Don't lose the form. Tell anybody, don't lose the form. That's why we are talking about kerygma. Because kerygma was the way they talked about it. All these words are using, all these Greek words are using, that's, if the apostles were here, they would not sound, it would not look strange to them. Are you with me? The form. You know, many people think that what is old is boring. Sometimes what is old is sweeter. Ah, there is a form. You know, somebody said there is no demon anywhere. The only demon is ignorance. That's not the form. That's not the form. No, not the form, that one. The Bible says, when Paul was preaching to a certain leader, God help me remember his name. And Elymas, also called Bar Jesus, was there. Paul was preaching. That is Acts chapter 13. Paul was preaching. And Elymas was using confusing demonic manipulations against the man. And the man did not know that he was being manipulated away from hearing the gospel. The Bible says, Paul, being full of the Spirit, set his eyes upon him and says, O Elymas, full of subtlety, thou son of the devil, you will not cease to repent. Then he rebuked him. He says, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? And now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. Thou shalt be blind for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. That means if Paul did not rebuke him, he would have still continued. So, even if you have the power, if you don't do anything about it, the devil will still continue. That's the form. He did not say the ignorance is the problem. Are you with me? When you see the hand of Satan, the form is to say, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus. Look at the way Paul was talking. He spoke like a man with authority. Can you read this thing again? Verse 6. And when they had gone through the Isle of Paphos, they found a certain sorcerer, a false prophet, a Jew, whose name was Bar Jesus. Jesus will get bar. Is that true? It's not possible. Bar Jesus. Which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus, a prudent man, who called for Barnabas and Saul and desired to hear the word of God. Hey, are you following this? Verse 8. But Elymas the sorcerer, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, seeking to turn away the deputy from the faith. Verse 9. Then Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. You know, in the evening session, I will talk about the priority of the Spirit. Why did they need to emphasize the fact that he was filled with the Holy Ghost? Must you tell us he was filled with the Holy Ghost? How can you look at somebody and just say he was filled with the Holy Ghost? That means there was an obvious demeanor of a man full of the Holy Ghost. He says, go back to verse 9. And Paul, who also is called Saul, or Saul, who also is called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Verse 10, and said, O full of all subtlety and mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of all righteousness. You know, if you do that today, you they preach like this. Somebody is standing by, and God opens your eyes in the spirit to see that this person is blocking the word, and you look at him and say, thou child of the devil, full of subtlety, thou shalt be blind for a season. TikTok will carry. You say, these pastors, what are they turning to? But this is the form. In the form, you don't appeal to demons, you cast out devils. You are not nice to the devil. He will never repent. He has not repented for more than 6,000 years. Now you go convert him. He said, why are you? enemy of all righteousness, will thou not cease to pervert the right ways of the Lord? It says, and now, behold, the hand of the Lord is upon thee, and thou shalt be blind, not seeing the sun for a season. And immediately there fell on him a mist and a darkness. So, they were not just doing miracles, they were giving sickness. Anyone that stands against this work, you, according to this verse, you are cursed. That's the formal. I wish I could talk about it. The issue is that there are too many things to teach. This is, I want to call this, this is the judgmental gospel. The gospel of power. You can't stand against the king. This message is demanded from the king. You can't stand against it. You can't stop it. Whosoever comes against this stone shall be broken in pieces. He that this stone comes upon shall be grounded into powder. For more than 2,000 years, empire upon empire has tried to stop Christianity. The more you try, the more you scatter. And so, we, as another apostolic generation, will continue the same herald. Glory! So it is an orthodox faith, right? So there is a form. Hold fast the form of sound words. Hold fast the form. If the apostles emphasize praying in tongues, hold fast the form of praying in tongues. If the apostles emphasize teaching, hold fast the form. Are you with me? If the apostles emphasize worship, and the Bible says, and they were full of joy, praising God. So when we shout glory, you don't say, I'm a cheat guy. You don't say, I'm a cool guy. Then go feel it. Then, hey, you don't do that one. No, we shout glory. See, all this long teaching, Paul taught all night. That's the form, the form, the form. Paul taught all night. Tychicus fell from the window, died. They went down, prayed for him, raised him back, and continued teaching. Hey. Guy. The form. Praise the Lord. See, until we preach the gospel and hold fast the form, the way Jesus and the apostles did it, we're not going to see the kind of results they had. As I end this introduction, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend. Jude chapter 1. But I didn't open it, tell you intentionally, because by now, with the way we have read that verse in this church, every member of this church should know Jude 1 verse 3 to 4. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was need for me to write unto you and to exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith. Earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints, the body of truth. The form, the faith, the doctrine, the style. Are you with me? Which was once delivered unto the saints. Earnestly content. Tell your neighbor, content. Amen. Amen. That's why we're having kerygma. We want to contend for that apostolic gospel. So quickly, how did the apostles preach salvation? How did they preach salvation? Because right now, we are living in a day where there's so many arguments on this matter. So this morning session and the afternoon session, I will talk about the way the apostles talked about salvation. Acts chapter 16, verse 23. Say after me, I'm blessed. You know, before I used to wonder, why did the apostles used to pray long? How are they praying long? What are you praying for 5 hours, 6 hours for? Until I started doing it. Can I tell you something for free? There is a knowledge of God that will only come until you pray long. I can put it to you. Intimacy with God is the result of prolonged prayers. Something happened to me years ago, and it's still my experience. I discovered that if I prayed for long, it was difficult for me to respond to temptations. I mean, And I'm not just talking about sexual related temptations. I mean all kinds of temptations. All kinds. Let me tell you how I was delivered from a particular habit. I was struggling with a particular habit in 2006. It was what they call, say, Pastor, I'm struggling with woman thoughts, all those kind of things. Let me tell you how I got delivered. It was prayer and Bible study for a prolonged time. I did not know when I was delivered. I forgot I had the habit. After like 4 months, I said, it's true. When last did I see a babe pass and say, "Pooh"? Because before, if you pass, I say, "Hey, the Lord created, let the earth tremble. The Lord created, let the earth tremble." But the time came, I'm like, "It's true. I don't get this thing again. Oh, he left me." Hey. There is a kind of fire that will burn. Flies will go. You will not be saying, "Leave this place." No. It's either they roast and die or they disappear. And I needed it though. Thank God God did that thing early for me. How will I have been a pastor of this church? How? If God, I'm not bragging, no, but you will never hear that there was a scandal. You will never hear. Say amen. No. No, it's not happen. It can't happen. Did you hear what I said?
Yes,
God, a pastor messed me up and said, "How do you pastor all these fine girls in your church?" I said, "More are coming." they're coming. They'll be soon, self. There'll be like 100,000, a million. So I'm ready. People are laughing. God helped me early. Let the fire burn. Let the fire. There is a way the fire will burn in your spirit. Even things that look like temptations will be testing bitter in your spirit. Years ago, I heard Bishop Oyedepo say something. Then I didn't understand. I think he said in 2005 or 2004. He said, "I passed some of my workers and I could smell carnality." I'm like, "You said what? You smelt what?
Carnality."
I said, what is that? What kind of speciality is that? Baba, you too do. But a time came, I began to smell carnality too. I said, I'm smelling this thing. Brother, you need some fire. Are you with me? Hold fast the form. Imagine when Paul looked at a church of 3,000 members, the Corinthian church, and said, "I speak in tongues more than ye all." Yeah. First of all, you need to know that the Corinthian church, those people are in tongues. They had a problem. They will come to service, no preaching. Right now, everybody, stand up on your feet. The message for today is Lakabronda Skapa, Jeketu Skapaletopa, Imasata Katata. You are blessed. Unto the measure. That was how they were doing church. Then Paul had the audacity to say, "I speak in tongues more than ye all." That means there were days where Paul, from morning till night, Zala barata kapa, mando barashete pa katis kapa, mendo sa parate kupa kapelema. That's why when you are trying to disturb his preaching, you say, "O Elimas, full of subtlety, the hand of the Lord is upon thee. You shall be blind for a season." Kai. That kind of audacity does not come with conflicts and meat pie every morning and afternoon and evening. Are you with me? Tell anybody, immersion camp. Acts 16, verse 23. It says, "And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely." Keep them safely. Now then they'll keep this jailer. "Who, having received a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." So they were not just in prison where they could walk around. What you mean their leg was fast in the stocks is kind of like a sand cement. So they build it around your leg. It's a prison where you cannot move. You are there. If you want to piss, you piss there.
you will shit there. Your leg is just fast in the stocks like that. Verse 25. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. Verse 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately all the doors were opened. Hey! As we worship in this camp meeting, all the doors are opened. As we worship and pray, all doors are opened. Every band is loosed. In the name of Jesus. As they worship and prayed, all the doors were opened. Haya! Kayata! Hey! I declare over you, all doors are opened. All doors are opened. Financial doors are opened. Marital doors are opened. Career doors are opened. Breakthrough doors are opened. In the name of Jesus. Verse 26 says, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaking, and immediately all the doors were opened. And everyone's bands were loosed. So much to learn from the Bible. So much to learn. Do you realize that the people were not praising and singing because they expected an earthquake to happen? Ah, my God. They did not know that an earthquake was going to happen and release them. But they were singing and praying to God because it was their culture. It was their lifestyle. In season and out of season. When there is trouble, what do? Pray and praise. Are you with me? In good times, pray and praise. Bad times, pray and praise. And as they did, there was an earthquake. Now, see verse 27. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had fled. This is typical Roman arrangement. If they don't catch, if the prisoners escape, the jailer will be killed. That's why, you see that rubbish theory that they said that the soldiers connived and carried away Jesus' body. And they were still there. And no, and they had a man to come and be telling the priest, Roman soldiers, Jesus rose. Amen? Amen. Well, and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. That's not correct English today. Verse 28. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we are all here. Ha! Oh, no, do this thing in Kikri prison, you know. When there's an earthquake from the Lord, run. Don't do, we are all here. Don't worry. Verse 28. Nigeria and Rome is not the same. Praise God. Verse 29. Then he called for a light and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas. Verse 30. Everybody read verse 30. 1-3, go. And brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? Kai, what a verse of the Bible. What must I do to be saved? Verse 31. And they said, everybody read this verse, 1-3, go. And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved and thy house. Now imagine you were this jailer, and you just saw what happened. Imagine. You just saw what happened. And you ask them, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they say, believe in the Lord Jesus. Believe in the Lord Jesus. You know, that question and what they said does not relate to. They said, what must I do to be saved? Not what must I believe to be saved. The man was looking for what to do. They told him what to believe. Already,
implicitly, you can see that salvation cannot be by what you do, but what you believe. Ah. And if it has to be by believing or by faith, then it's by grace. If it is not by doing and it's not by works, if it's by faith and not works, then it's by grace. Are you following this? Ah, Jesus. And they tell you, you saw the earthquake there. Imagine you are the jailer. You saw the earthquake. You saw everything that happened. You mean, no. I need to get what this guy's got. Are you with me? And they tell you, believe. Just believe. Like, are you serious? Just believe. No probation. No 15 steps. No initiation date. Believe. Salvation is by grace. Look at Romans 11 verse 6. Romans 11 verse 6. It says, everybody 1-3 go. And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it is of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. Say after me, for salvation to be by faith, then it must be by grace. For salvation to be by faith, then it must be by grace. Look at Romans 10, verse 8-10. It says, but what seeth it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. So, once again, it is believe with the heart and confess with the mouth. Are you seeing this? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now, I want you to also see something. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, so you must believe that Jesus is the Lord, right? So, implicitly, in salvation, there is the believing that Jesus is God. You must believe that he is the Lord. Are you with me? That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Say after me, I believe. Say it again, I believe. So, salvation is by grace. Say after me, it's by grace. Repeat after me, for salvation to be by faith, then it must be by grace. Glory. Have you ever thought about the man, the thief on the cross, who Jesus Christ just looked at and said, today, because, you know, the guy just accepted that Jesus is the Lord. And Jesus looked at him and said, you know what, for accepting that today, he will be with me in paradise. That was how he was saved. Just like that. Free of charge. You know, guess what? For every one of us, it is what? Free of charge. Are you with me? It is free of charge. Say after me, free of charge. Say it again, free of charge. Ephesians 1, chapter 2 from verse 1 to 8. Ephesians 2 from verse 1 to 8. The Bible says, and you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past, I'm rushing this thing. Go back to verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirits that now walketh in the children of disobedience. So the person who commits sin is not just a random guy who makes mistakes, who can turn over a new leaf. No, there is a spirit of disobedience at work in him. A nature of darkness. Are you following this? Verse 3. Among whom also we all had our conversation, meaning our lifestyle, in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. So, It is not what it is not your sin that makes you a sinner. It is because you are a sinner that you commit sin. Are you getting this? So if God is going to save man, it's not by addressing his deeds, but addressing who he is. You know, remember when Nicodemus came and met Jesus in John chapter 3 and said, "Great teacher, no man can do these miracles that thou doest except to be from God. We know that you are a teacher come from God," and all of that. "For no man can do." He was talking about what you are doing. And God, Jesus just flipped the whole thing and said, "Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So it is being before doing. Are you getting me? Who you are determines what you do. It is not what you do that makes you who you are. It is who you are that will determine what you do. Praise the Lord. So back to Ephesians 2 verse 3. "Among whom also we had all our conversation in the times past and lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God," verse 4, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us." So the reason why he came down to drag us out of this malady, if there's a now more serious word, do you know what it means when it says, "And you are taken who were dead in trespasses and sins"? You were dead, and your coffin was trespasses and sins. You were dead inside trespasses and sins. So there was a dead man, but what people are seeing outside is trespasses and sins. But actually, the real substance of that thing is that there is a dead man inside. Are you following me? "But God," tell me, "but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us." Glory. Let me tell you why I'm doing this. You must never lose sight of the grace of God in salvation. You must never lose sight of it. See, initially, when I began to study the Bible, and I stumbled on this whole concept of grace and works, I felt maybe it's not such of a big deal. Are you with me? Do we need to really talk about it and overflog it? It's not really a big deal. Okay, we are saved by grace and not by works. The more I study the Bible, it's a very big deal to God. It's a very big deal to God. God wants you to see that your salvation could not be anything you could do by your own power. It was too expensive for you to pay, so he paid for you and gave you freely. Are you with me? He never wants you to lose sight of the fact that it was too expensive for you to pay. He paid for you and gave you freely. And he has been talking about it from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible. I told you about the fact that was why Abel's sacrifice was accepted and Cain's sacrifice was rejected. Because Cain brought his own yams, he brought his own produce from his land. But Abel brought a lamb that was slain. That was the pattern, that it was the slain lamb that would bring salvation for all men. So what you were seeing there was the battle between grace and works. Somebody came to God by God's own lamb. Are you with me? His lamb was symbolic of the fact that there will be a lamb that will be slain for all men. Somebody brought yam. God rejected his works of yams. It's your own work, your own good works that you want to use and gain salvation is your yam. Come to God by the slain lamb and you will be accepted. Are you with me? And many more. You see, it just is all over the Bible. All over the Bible. Praise the Lord. It says, "But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we are dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are you saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus." Verse 8, "For by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast." Not of works, lest any man should boast. Not of works. Ah! Say to me, I boast in Christ alone. I boast in Christ alone. I boast in Christ alone. Glory. Some people can struggle with this message. Every time, salvation by grace, justification by faith, righteousness by faith, pastor. Let me tell you why anything that tampers with this, tampers with your worship. Let me tell you why. If you work in your company and they pay your salary, you may or may not tell them thank you. You worked and they paid you, right? But if you did not work and you were paid, if you did not work and you were given a gift, it will command thank you. Whenever you lose sight of God's grace in salvation, it will affect your worship. When you think it is something, let me tell you something. Ah, my God, the Lord taught, has been teaching me something recently. The Lord told me, your prayer and fasting is not what brings my supernatural power. If you think it's your prayer and fasting that brings my supernatural power, when my power manifests, you will not give the praise to me. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Instead, you will say, I paid the price. You will say, I paid the price, so God gave me what I paid. Are you sure you paid the price? Can you really pay the price? Are you with me? So, pastor, are you saying there's no price to pay? There are prices to pay, but your price is not what brings the substance. Your price is what delivers the substance. And there is a difference. And I'm going to show you shortly. Not of works. Tell me, not of works. The way you worship God, You know, I've seen people say things like, I've served God. Why is he not blessing me? You think it's by your works. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Have I not tried for God? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Are you following this? Not of works, lest any man should boast. The way you worship God, the way you respond to the Lord in worship, how you surrender your hearts to him is a proof of if you understand the message of grace or salvation by grace. Are you with me? Somebody may say, I'm saved by grace. So somebody may say, pastor, are you saying there is no work in salvation? There is a work. But the work to be saved was not done by you. The work to be saved was not done by you. It was done by Jesus. And when you accept it, you receive the free gift of eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Say after me, I have the gift of God. I have the gift of God. Pastor, doesn't the Bible say, work out your salvation with fear and trembling? So there is a big difference between work out your salvation and work for your salvation. Remember I told you that I'm going to explain to you the price that we pay. Are you with me? There is a difference between work out your salvation and work for your salvation. When you are working for your salvation, it is that your work is the payment for you to be saved. But when you are working out your salvation, it is that the work is to release the substance of salvation already given to you. Are you with me? When they deliver a car, a new car to your house, and they tell you, stop. Amen. I thought somebody would say amen. Amen. When they deliver a new car, maybe they give you a very complex car, Maybach 2024 model. Amen. And it does not come with car key. It does not come with, you wonder, how do I operate this car? They now gave you one fat manual. And say, you see this manual, if you study it, you know how to operate the car. The price you are paying to study the manual is not the price that bought you the car. It is that price you are paying to study the manual is the price to operate that car. So, when you are working out your salvation, all the work we are doing is to release the substance of what God has given to us already. The price we pay is to know how to operate this new car we have received. Are you following this? It says, work out your salvation, not work for your salvation. It was given to you freely. But now that you have received it, how do you know how do you understand salvation? How does it operate with me? How do I follow the Lord? How do I master this gift I have received? It is when you work out your salvation. So you work out what God has worked in. Are you with me? A good example, especially with that word, the registry of that word, work out. It's a term that relates to people who do exercise. I'm going to work out. Now, their exercise does not give them the muscles. Their exercise makes their muscles get bigger or get stronger. So it's not exercise that gives them hands or limbs or bones. Do you get it? They are working out the muscles they have received. And this is also another part of the problem. There are many people who have received the gift of salvation, but they are not working anything out. They are not working anything out. There are many of you, it's time to work out. Enter the spirit gym. Hit the gym, David. Enter the gym. Barakata sapalata. Pray. Let your muscles expand. Are you with me? And the clothes I used to wear again can no longer size you. Those things that the devil used to use and hold you down, when they try to wear it upon you, they'll be struggling. When the devil wants to confine you, because your muscles have expanded in the spirit, it's no longer your size. Are you with me? By the time they go to sew a new one and come back, it's no longer his size. They go and sew a new one again. By the time they come and put it, he's bigger now. Ah, makata kabale. Work out your salvation. Tell your neighbor, work out your salvation. Work out your salvation. Say after me, I'm blessed. Have you ever seen that verse of the Bible that says, no weapon formed or fashioned against you shall prosper? Have you ever wondered why they use that word formed or fashioned? Because when the devil wants to send a weapon to a man, he measures the man. He comes like a skilled artisan and takes measurements. These are his temperament. These are his habits. These are his ways. So we can catch him here. We know that this is his lifestyle. This is his weight in the spirit. This is how his hand is. This is how he is. This is his measurement. It says, no weapon formed against thee shall prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shall condemn. Now, but by the time you do spiritual workouts, and expand, when they bring the measurement, it's no longer your size. Yes, sir. Say after me, in the name of Jesus. As I pray now, all the blessings of the gospel, all the blessings of salvation, locked up in my spirit, all the glories of my destiny, all the graces of my destiny, locked up in my spirit. As I pray now, I release them. I release them. Come out. Shine forth. Call your name, David. Shine forth. Emerge. 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 Step into destiny. Step into destiny. Begin to pray in the spirit right now.